All right, well, it's good to see all of you guys out, and let's go ahead and get started in Proverbs 25. So there's a lot of interesting things in Proverbs 25. We won't be able to look at all of it, so if you want to see some more really interesting things, check it out for yourself later on, perhaps during the week. Don't forget about Sunday school right here at what time?
9:30.
9:30, all right. So let's go ahead and look at Proverbs 25. But before we do that, let's pray and ask God's blessing. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this evening, for the beautiful day you gave us. And I pray that you will open our hearts to your word this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So looking at our first slide and our first verse, Proverbs 25:2. It is the glory of God to conceal things, but the glory of kings is to search things out. So here we see the word glory repeated twice. What is the glory of God according to this verse? What brings God glory? To do what?
Glorify Him.
Look at the verse. What brings God glory? To do what? What does God do? And it brings Him glory. Let me read it again. Look at it with me. It is the glory of God to conceal things, but the glory of kings is to search things out. So according to this verse, what is the glory of God? Yes. You're on the right track, but that's not what it says. The glory of God is what? To do what? Look at the very end of the verse.
Conceal things.
To conceal things, exactly. Wow, what does that mean? What does God conceal? And we, especially kings, because, you know, they're kind of powerful, they run the whole country, they can search them out. Can you think of anything that's kind of hidden, that God has concealed? But if we work really hard, maybe we can learn about it and discover it. What's something God has concealed? About how we are good and bad? Like, yeah, you know, how people really are. And if we study the Bible, we can learn more about God and also learn more about ourselves. Andrew, what has God concealed?
Wind.
The wind, yeah. Have you ever thought about that? Where does it come from? What is wind? What is it made of? You might learn about that in science class. Yes.
Air.
Air. That's pretty interesting. You know what air is made of? We all breathe it. It's made of oxygen. But you know, oxygen isn't the main part of air. What's the main thing that makes up air?
Nitrogen.
Nitrogen. Over 70% nitrogen. Just about 21% oxygen. And then a small bit of carbon dioxide and other gases. Yes, what has God concealed? Maybe. We can learn about sin also. What is sin? We talk about that in the things that the questions and answers we're learning. And we can learn about that in the Bible. Well, let me show you something else that God has concealed and something that can help us search it out. Let's look at this next picture. Let's see if anybody knows what this is. Is it not working?
Satellite.
What kind of satellite is this? This is a very special satellite. It's been orbiting the Earth for over 20 years. And it sends pictures back to the Earth. Do you know what it is, Miranda?
A camera satellite?
It is, but what kind? Is it like taking selfies of people?
No,
what's it taking pictures of? What do you think it's taking pictures of? Of space. Do you want to see a picture that this satellite has taken a picture of? This is the Hubble Space Telescope. It's like a really big telescope. Well, take a look at this next picture. This is a huge cloud in outer space. And this isn't something you can see if you just look up in the sky. But with the Hubble telescope, it can see things really far away. And so this is one of the amazing pictures it sent back to Earth. Now let's take a look at this next picture. Maybe you know what this is called. Look at this big group of stars. What is this called? What is it? It is, what is it called? A group of stars?
Galaxy.
A galaxy. But it's not the Milky Way. Because the Milky Way is very difficult to take a picture of because we're in the Milky Way. This is another galaxy. It's the Andromeda Galaxy. And it has billions of stars in it. Now, do you want to see a picture of the Milky Way? It's a little hard to get a picture of. But if you look at the next slide, you can see the Milky Way. It's just kind of, we only see part of it because we're in the Milky Way. But you know what? We can learn a lot of these things. Scientists study these things. And countries send out space probes and telescopes to learn about these things. God has concealed the mysteries about stars and galaxies and all of these amazing things. But we can learn about it. And as we learn about it, we can see more about God's glory and how amazing He is. Now, let me just tell you one interesting thing I found out. What the scientists did with the Hubble telescope one day is they were very curious about what was really far out in space. And so if you look at this picture, you can see lots and lots of stars. But they saw a part that was kind of dark. No planets, no stars, no galaxies. They couldn't see anything. It was just black. And so they wondered, what's out there? And so they focused the Hubble Space Telescope on that black square for a long time. And you know what they saw? Look at the next picture and see what they saw. When they looked at that and they enlarged it, do you know what all of these big bright spots are? What do you think they are, Anna? Not planets. Isaac?
Galaxies.
Every spot is another galaxy. And every galaxy has billions of stars. Scientists now estimate there are billions of galaxies in our universe. How awesome is that? It shows us the power of our Creator God. So, once again, let's look at the verse. Read it with me, if you would. If you can read this. Actually, we'll skip over this one, just for time's sake. Let's read it together. It is the glory of God to conceal things, but the glory of kings is to search things out. So when you're at school in science class and you're learning about things you see in a telescope or things you see in a microscope, when you're learning about the body or about animals or about planets, just remember this verse, that we have the privilege of searching out these amazing things that God has concealed in His creation. Yes?
What if there are like more people in the universe?
Yeah. That's something people wonder about. Let's go to our next verse, Proverbs 25 and verses 6 and 7, which says, "Do not put yourself forward in the king's presence or stand in the place of the great. For it is better to be told, 'Come up here,' than to be put lower in the presence of a noble." What is this saying? Take a look at this next picture. This is a picture of a wedding feast. It might be a little hard to see, but you can see there's a lot of people who have gathered together. And let me see. Can somebody get the lights just real quick? Because it's a little hard to see the details in this painting. This is a famous painting by Peter Bruegel. And it's called The Peasant's Wedding. And if you look carefully, do you see what's down here? What do you see right down here? Yes, Ashley. There's a child sitting on the ground. Now, what do you think would happen if that child sat right up here next to the bride and the groom at this big white table? What do you think the people would say to the child? Yes.
You're out.
Yeah, get out of here. What are you doing? But let's say this child was actually someone very important. Maybe it was the favorite nephew of the groom. And he saw this child sitting on the ground. What might he say to this child if it's his favorite nephew? What do you think? And he sees this child just sitting on the ground eating some of the wedding food. What would he say to the child? It's his favorite nephew. Yes.
Come up here.
Yeah, come up here. Hey, what are you doing on the ground? Come up here.
Yeah, come up.
So what is the lesson we can learn here? Go ahead and you can turn the lights on again. What's the lesson we can learn? If we're going to some fancy place, what should we do? What do you think? Yeah, maybe we should ask permission before we sit at an important place. What character quality can we learn here from what is being said? What do you think? We should be how? We should? Should we be proud or humble? What do you think the lesson is here, Anna? We should be humble. And allow someone else to put us in a place of honor and not just put ourselves there. No, we should take the humble spot and allow someone else to say, hey, why don't you sit up here in the honored position? You know who said something very similar to what Proverbs says here?
Albert Einstein.
Jesus said something very similar. He said, when you're invited to a feast, don't sit in the most important place. Go sit somewhere else. That way, the host, when he sees you, he'll say, come up here. Come sit in an honored position. Rather than putting ourselves in the place of honor, we should take the humble position. All right, let's take a look at our next verse in Proverbs 25. Like clouds and wind without rain. Now, before we read the rest of the verse, I've got a question for you. Is this a good thing or a bad thing? Clouds and wind without rain. What do you think? Is that good or bad? Give me a thumbs up or a thumbs down. Clouds and wind without rain. Yeah, I see some up, some down. Now, if you're thinking about a picnic, you'd say a good thing, no rain.
Wind.
But if you're a farmer, you're going to say a bad thing.
No,
you want the rain to make everything grow.
Yeah.
Clouds and wind, but no rain, that's a bad thing. So what is like clouds and wind with no rain? Let's read the rest of the verse. What does it say? Go ahead, Ileana, and click the clicker. Like clouds and wind without rain is a man who boasts of a gift he does not give. Have you ever met someone, maybe a friend at school, who says, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And he talks about this really amazing thing he's going to do, and he never does it. Maybe they say they're going to give you something. Oh, I'm going to give this to you, and they never do give it. It's kind of disappointing, isn't it? We shouldn't be like that. Well, let's skip ahead. Ileana, let's go go ahead one more to our next passage. Now, this is an interesting one. Now, this might be making you hungry, but I want you to imagine that you are working at an ice cream shop. And the owner of the shop tells you, you know what, I really appreciate you working for me. You can have as much ice cream as you want. How many scoops would you eat?
3,000.
3,000 scoops. How many would you eat?
None.
None? You don't like ice cream?
No, I do.
How many would you eat? The owner says you can have as much as you want.
Three.
Three scoops. Okay, wow. How many would you have, Ian?
I would have two.
Two scoops. Wow. How many would you have? 500 scoops. How many would you have, Isaac? All right, well, let's see what Proverbs now says. And it might make you reconsider, or it might not. Let's look at what Proverbs says. Listen carefully. If you have found honey, eat only enough for you. lest you have your fill of it and vomit it. So don't eat enough for the whole class. No, only eat enough for you. That way you will not be sick later. What character trait, guys, does this teach us? We've already learned about humility, but here we see another character trait. Dominic, what do we see? What is it?
Don't be greedy.
Don't be greedy. Okay. How else could we phrase it? That's a good one. Don't be greedy. Anna?
Get more than what you should.
Good. Don't take more than you should. But what one word could sum that up? You need to have?
Wisdom.
Good. Any other thoughts? What do we need?
Self-control.
That's what I'm looking for. Self-control. Because remember, the owner of the shop said, you can have as much as you want, and your parents aren't even there to tell you. But should you control yourself? I hope so, because one day you guys will be on your own, and you can go to Kroger and buy 50 boxes of ice cream if you want. But you might be sick if you eat all of them. And you might not have room in your freezer either. All right, let's go ahead to our next verse, guys. And here, in our next verse, what do we see here? What do we see these kids doing? What do you think they're doing? Yes. Yeah, they're saying, hello, let me in. Maybe these are your neighbors, Kyle and Sarah. And they just moved in next door. And on Monday, they come to your house and they're saying, hey, we just moved in and we want to know, can we borrow some eggs? We ran out of eggs. What would you say if they just want to borrow some eggs?
Okay.
Sure, yeah, you can have some eggs. And on Tuesday, they knock again and they say, we want to borrow some sugar. What would you say?
No. How much?
How much? 1 cup. Okay, but then on Wednesday they come and they say, hey, you've got a swimming pool in the backyard. Can we swim in your swimming pool?
I'd say, sure.
Okay, sure. And then on Thursday they come over and they see that the pizza guy came and delivered pizza. And so they say, can we have some of your pizza?
No.
What would you say, Miranda?
You got money to pay for it?
And they say, no, we're just hungry. We don't have money. All right, but let's look at what Proverbs says, guys, about this situation. Let's go to our verse here. So, look carefully at what it says. Let your foot... Hey, guys, are you listening?
Yeah.
Let's listen. Let your foot be seldom in your neighbor's house, lest he have his fill of you and hate you. We don't want to be going to our neighbor too much and he get tired of us coming. You know how we say this sometimes? Guys, I appreciate your input, but sometimes it's time to listen and sometimes it's time to talk. All right, so what does it say? Don't wear out your welcome. You know, if you go every day to your neighbor, he's going to get tired of it. Okay, well, let's look at just a couple more things. Our next verse in Proverbs, it's about this. How should we treat our enemies? Think about that question as we look at the verse. Go ahead, Ileana. If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he is thirsty, give him water to drink. For you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. How should we treat our enemies? How should we treat our enemies? Yes, Levi.
Really good.
We should. But they're our enemies. Shouldn't we hate our enemies?
Yes, No.
What should we do if our enemy is hungry? Ashlyn? Maybe. Or what should we do if our enemy is really, really thirsty? In fact, let me show you a picture. Ileana, let's go ahead to a picture that we can see. Go ahead one more. Oh, one more after that, sorry. Here's a picture from World War II. an American soldier and a German prisoner. What is the American soldier doing in this picture? Yes. He's giving him a drink of water from his canteen. Yeah. Even though this is his enemy, looks like he's wounded, maybe he got hurt on his head, he's giving him some water. This really happened during World War II. How do we treat our enemies? Should we hate them? What did Jesus say about this? How should we treat our enemies? Ashlyn?
Like a friend.
We should love them. Love your enemies. Yeah, that's kind of hard to do sometimes, isn't it? We would rather hate our enemies. Well, let's just go back about three slides, because I have another question for you. How did God treat us? When we were enemies to God, when we had turned our back on God, how did God treat us? Let's check it out in Romans 5:8 in our next slide. What does it say in Romans 5:8? God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When we were still doing what was wrong, when we had still turned our back on God, God reached out to us in love, sent his own son to die in our place. So how should we treat others? The way that Christ treated us. He loved us and gave his life for us. You know what? Sometimes there might be kids at school that are mean to us. Sometimes our brothers and sisters are mean to us. How should we treat them? Well, just remember how God treated us. It's not easy. When people are mean to us, it's just natural to want to be mean back. When they say something mean, we want to hurt their feelings too. When they hit us, we want to hit them. But remember what God did for us and what Christ taught us to forgive and to love our enemies. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you will help us to remember these things and to not forget them. We thank you, Father, for your glory and for the things that you teach us from Proverbs. And please bless the rest of our time together. In Jesus' name, amen.